So today I want to talk about walking in love. Now, it's something we say quite easily and we say to do, but we don't always do it, I guess, put the words into actions per se. One thing that I can say though is that we do talk about walking in love. I mean, let's say actually loving people and then actually doing everything through love. Our expressions, our emotions, our thoughts, whatever it might be, doing those things through love. And I'll say that's one thing that I feel our church does very well, doing what we do in love. So today might even feel like a bit of a rehash or a reminder, or some of you might already be doing this really well, but if it's not just for myself that I'm preaching today, then I hope everyone walks away with something that they've taken away today. So the scripture we'll be looking at today would be, this little clicker as well, we'll be kicking off with John 13, verse 33 to 34. Is it working? Aha. Is that too small? Can everyone see that all right? Okay, beautiful. Now, I've realized as well, going through my slides, that I might have got translations mixed up. So I think the one starts off NIV, and then we go to New Living Translation after this. I can't remember which one the last one is, so bear with me on that one. So the one... what I want to focus on today is a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, 33 to 34. Now, as I mentioned, this is something that I feel as a church we do quite well. But as Paul says, something that we can continue to grow in. And I feel like there's always opportunities for us to be able to step up in this. As I think it was Paul himself said, we're constantly undergoing a transformation and a renewing of a mind. So as we continue to walk in these things, we continue to walk them out as well. Now, the love I'm referring to here isn't just an everyday sort of love. Like, I know it can mean a lot, but to say like, I love you, bro, or like, hey, what's up? Like, Jesus loves you. It's so easy to just say, but I feel like it takes a deeper level. It's not just something that we express, but as I mentioned before, something that we begin to live out. And I feel like Jesus gives a perfect illustration of what this sort of love is like. So let's see where I am. So Christ has called us to love one another and be imitators of his love, as mentioned here. So as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As we begin to imitate this love to each other, we begin to reflect God's glory even more, and we begin to grow in the likeness of who he truly is. So, it is a deeper love that is expressed through our words, actions, thoughts, attitude, and ultimately our behavior. It's a deeper meaning that carries a lot of weight and responsibility if you think about it. To love someone, I feel, is definitely a commitment. And to do things through love, so the same. Getting your attitude right, your behavior, your mindset, your expressions, what you think as well. But although there is quite a lot of, I don't want to call it a burden, but because there is quite a lot of responsibility associated with that, it does carry a lot of power as well. I feel like love gives effectiveness, it gives genuinity, it definitely helps give impact as well, and it's easy for people to tell if something is genuinely out of love or not. So we see this in our every single day, whether it's about something that we love doing. So let's say we love doing a sport. We become passionate about it, and then we begin to invest our time and effort into that as well, even money, whatever it might be. We see relationships as well, whether it's with family or friends or girlfriends. Yep, those ones as well. Even wives, that's a good one. Thank you. Even those ones. We begin to invest the time and money as we begin to love him more. And as we begin to love him more, we begin to invest more time and money and effort. Sorry, not just money. We invest a lot of other things into them as well. As we begin to grow in that love for them, we begin to grow passion for them. And then again, the time and money. And I do feel the same when it comes to Mori River salted caramel ice cream, Sharon. As you begin to love it, you just begin to spend a lot of time, effort and money into it. And I could just eat it all day. It's true, sacrifices do need to be made for the good of a colony. So this beautiful thing about this love that we receive, however, is our love is quite, if we go out of our fleshy love, it's quite finite, or it's quite easy to run out. It doesn't have that same impact and that same expressiveness as God's love has. But God has given us this love, or made available this love, God being love in himself. He's given us this eternal love, this one that carries beyond what we understand, what we can comprehend, what we feel, what we're possible feeling, what we're possible seeing in others. He gives us this perfect love, and he's a perfect example of love. And he allows us to take that love and to express it to other people. And in doing that, where we are called to not grow weary of doing good, I believe we become even more empowered to do so well. So, God's love that he does give us is an everlasting love, which we cannot escape. Romans 8:38-39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you were there in what was prayed this morning, Andre gave a perfect example when he started talking about love, how Jesus laid down his life for us and how we can express that same sacrifice to our friends as well. Now, the only problem with this love is that I feel like it sets quite a high standard for us as well. So if Jesus has called us to love others just as we have loved him, then I feel like the bar is set quite high. But as always, we put in effort to grow and to become more like him. And even though it's hard sometimes, we give it our best shot. Now, it might seem daunting as well, this sort of love. I mean, it is quite a lot of love to give and is too much of a good thing, really a good thing. But in this perfect love, I feel like there's no fault in it. And therefore, we can never run sick of this love. We can never grow tired of it. In fact, I'm sure you all agree that we do need it every day as well. And it's not just some fleeting love that's here one day, that's gone the next, but a love that stays with us throughout the week, throughout the days as well. And a love that gives us grace, compassion, mercy, that are new every morning as well. So, talking about love and how it's expressed through feelings, emotions, our attitude, our behavior, however we might act towards others. As I mentioned before, sometimes it's quite obvious to know when something is done not through love, I guess you can say. And I don't want to bring division or create any offense today, but let's be honest here. This is quite a dangerous question, so bear with me. Who's had something done for them and you can tell straight off the bat that it hasn't been done through love, whether it's through family, friend, whatever it might be? And I think we even find ourselves sometimes, I mean, I'm guilty of this, where I do something out of duty, out of whatever it might be, but I know that there's no love that's carried behind that. I'm also quite concerned because as I'm saying this and everyone's agreeing, everyone's still looking at me. So if I am guilty of doing it without love, then please, I am sorry. Now, I'm saying that. So, what did you notice about the interaction that you did have with that person? It might have perhaps felt that it wasn't genuine, that it wasn't effective, it wasn't done from the heart, there wasn't a, how could you say, perhaps an effort behind it. Could be anything. And I feel like because of that, it lacks that passion and effectiveness, and ultimately lacks impact as well. It basically does not have as near as close as an effect as doing things through love or through God's love in particular does have. And if we look in the Word, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 gives a very good example of this. So, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, the tough part about this is those things are things that we all don't take lightly. Speaking in tongues, gift of prophecy, faith that can move mountains, giving blessing as well. It's something that we do on every single day, and some people might do it a lot better than others. It might be something that you feel gifted in. But the thing that hits hard in this thing is it almost feels like Christ is saying, if you don't do those things through love, then it might be even better that you didn't do it. You could have not done it at all. And I know that actually it's quite hard. It's quite a hard pill to swallow because we do so many things out of love, or we think we do them because we've got the right idea, we've got the right intention. But if it's not done through love, then it just falls flat on its face. So if I was to give an example, so I'll use Mark as an example because I feel this is a lot safer. So let's say I was to give, let's say prophecy, for instance. Let's say I'm a very prophetic man and Christ gives me a word for Mark and it's about that he is called to greatness. So this is taking the example quite far to both ends, but let's say I go up to Mark, just as a disclaimer, let's say I go up to Mark and I say, Mark, you know, like, Christ has given me a word for you that, you know, you're going to do good, big things, but it's no big deal. And actually, I had to spend a lot of time in prayer thinking about that. So better be grateful. But yeah, big things. Yep. Good on you. No, I know that's a big extreme compared to if I was to say, Mark, I love you. I know Christ loves you. He's called you to big things. And I want to tell you that. If you take those two extremes, although I haven't seen any of like the other extreme being done in the church, so be set free. But the two extremes, I feel like just gives a good example. Even something as small as that, and I'm sure we can think of many things in our lives that we do something, and it just loses its effectiveness as well. So, what then does it mean to love? We have several different aspects, as mentioned before, of what Christ gives an example to love, to lay down one's life. We see it in the Old Testament, the New Testament. There's countless examples. But I feel like it's best laid out in 1 Corinthians 13, where it gives us almost like a checklist breakdown of love. So love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I don't want to give this as a formula that we can just, as like a one solution to fix all love issues, but perhaps we can use this as a checklist. So let's say we aren't doing something out of love. Is there perhaps an underlying issue that we aren't addressing? Is there something greater than what we see on face value? Is there something greater than what we see in, like outside of us at others? Maybe it's something within ourselves. I feel like this is something that we can come back to and give it a good checklist. Am I being patient? Am I being kind? Am I not envying? Am I not boasting? Not being proud? Am I not dishonoring others? Not self-seeking, angered? We can go on with those ones. I feel like it just gives us a great idea of what that love is. That Christ has truly called us to. And we've seen the scripture multiple times as well. But to be able to truly love, Christ again sets the bar. And I feel like this is something we can definitely strive to. We are, as a church, again, it's beautiful seeing everyone walking in that love. And I've experienced this from countless people as well, being protected, having trust in others, others having hope for me, persevering, me not being dishonored as well. And people not being self-seeking. There are so many things that people do well in here, and I could name countless things. And for every individual, it's different as well. But for us to be able to strive towards that and to have an effective and an impactful love definitely makes a big difference. Then finally, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, there will cease. Where there are tongues, there will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in parts and we prophesy in parts. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we only see reflection as in a mirror. For we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, 13. So I'm sure we've all grasped the picture of love, the importance of love, what it means to love, what it means to do things in love as well. And this is definitely something we can persevere towards. just to finish on a light note, however, I want to give a little practical example. Now, bear with me in this illustration. It might seem a bit silly at start. I didn't mean to make this like any other preach. So, I'm sure you've never seen an illustration done in a preach through Microsoft Paint. Definitely something new, something I'm not entirely skilled at, but prepare to be amazed. So, here I'd like to give just a nice example of love on a relatable level for all of us. Illustration time with Yaku. I feel like this kind of like sets the tone for what's to come. So, we know we're all called to love and to act in love, to do things in love, and to, I guess, be loved and to love others. But how do we do this well? So, I'm going to give you a practical example, using myself as an example, because I don't want to embarrass other people, only those who are going to be involved in my illustration. So, here's an example of me stacking chairs at the end of the day. Now, we all are quite used to stacking chairs. It's a simple serving task, and I think a lot, not too sure actually how many other chairs do it, but it's a task nonetheless, and our church is very familiar with it. So, here's me on a typical Sunday stacking 10 chairs on each arm. What can I say? Thank you for pointing out the biceps, Sharon. Those are some quite large biceps. Very accurate depiction of a everyday Sunday. What? Sorry. I'm just going to keep these to myself. I should have worn my jumper, actually. So, as you can see by my face, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm just not, I guess, in the mood. I'm just not feeling the love, I guess you can say. And I know I'm not doing what I am doing through love, even though I love lifting chairs. So it could be for whatever reason it might be that I'm not feeling this way. Well, actually, let me start that again. I just want to run this through for you quickly. So there's me stacking 10 chairs on each arm. There's me doing the same blindfolded. There's me saving a kitten from a tree while stacking 10 chairs and blindfold at the same time. And I would go on to the one about me saving a family of five from the apartment complex, but I don't want to boast because, you know, love doesn't boast. So, here we go. So, I'm stacking chairs, just not feeling it, back to the point. Could be for whatever reason. Something as simple as Justin over here. Sorry, let me skip that part. Through a duct tape ball at the end of a church, with his one chair that he's carrying there, and slightly smaller biceps. So he threw a duct tape ball, hits me in the eye, and I go half blind. And for this reason, I'm half blind, not in the mood, a little bit angry at Justin, even though I love you, bro, I guess. So just not feeling it today. And so I begin to look at what is it perhaps that is not making me feel it? Because I know I'm called to love. I'm called to do things out of love. I'm not feeling it, but I know I should be, but I really don't want to. But I know I should be doing it out of love. And I know it's going to be a lot more effective. But I'm just not feeling it. So do I do a simple 1-2 turn this frown upside down? I feel like it's just not that easy sometimes, although we can do that. And I feel like if we do that, it begins to change our minds and we can have a temporary happiness or love even, I guess. But instead, I feel like it's a matter of, here we go, the heart. So I begin to look at something underneath, something deeper down inside. I know I'm called to this love, but what is wrong? What am I doing differently that's, I guess, not making me want to do this out of love? And I know I've had the thing with Justin. I'm sorry to keep using it as an example. But I begin to look deeper, begin to look at the underlying issue. Could it be something like, I begin to pray and say, Lord, give me understanding, give me a peace. Help me to identify what this is so that I might be able to express your love as you've called me to express it. So I begin to look at the underlying issues, and I could even go through a checklist and say, actually, perhaps, maybe I'm easily angered. Maybe I'm holding on to a record of wrongs of Justin. But I really begin to dig deep within and begin to identify what that was so I can do what I've been called, what Christ has called me to do, and undergo that change of mind and change of heart. And therefore, I deal with the situation as necessary. And of course, do what I see fit in the situation. No, I'm just joking. As I begin to look at it instead, it begins to reunite us. So I begin to deal with those issues, maybe have a chat with Justin, whatever it might be. And as I begin to address the underlying issues, it changes my heart, it changes my attitude, it changes my mindset, it changes the way that I think, it changes the effectiveness and the impact that my serving has. It changes the way others see me. And again, as with the first verse that I shared today, here we go. We'll be able to love one another. And as Christ has loved me, so I may be able to love other people and do what I do in the church through love. And then other people can see that love and be able to share in it with it. So, I mean, this isn't really an accurate depiction, I feel, of what every Sunday is like. I don't carry 10 chairs, I carry 12, actually. So, just wanted to put that out there. But Christ has called us to our love. And it's not just that finite love that we have that's temporary, that's short-lived. It goes beyond our own thoughts, our own understandings. And it impacts in every single aspect of the way we present ourselves as well. So to summarize, we are called to walk in love, to love one another and do what we do through love. We have access to an everlasting love. We have Christ that sets a perfect example for us, and we are called to imitate this love. A lack of love deprives one of impact, effectiveness, and genuinity, and we need to check our hearts. And as I mentioned, it's not my intention to create a formula that we can follow that's going to be a one formula that fixes all problems. But instead, I want us to really begin to look at this issue of love. I mean, it's a massive part of our everyday lives, if not just for the church. But to be able to do so well and to continue to pick up things that we can walk better with in love and be able to have a more genuine love that we can express to others and to better be an example or ambassador for Christ and his love.